The Cap and J-Hood podcast is sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Check out the ESPN Chicago Games, sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka at ESPNChicagoGames.com. Watch us compete against each other, share memories and laughs, all for charity. Tito's Handmade Vodka celebrates 25 years. Cheers to you, Chicago!
You don't have to wait till you're in your car to hear what Cap and J-Hood are talking about. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Good morning and welcome into the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app with David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you. Good morning, Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. Thanks so much for keeping the conversation going. You can watch our show on Twitch, brought to you by DraftKings. So, Cap, we are getting ready for the Bears and the Lions on Sunday. And really, I think you and I have said this, and I think a lot of our listeners have said this as well, and our callers, talking about how this Bears season is really about the development of Justin Fields in this offense. And actually, we're getting more than what we thought. But there's another side to it as well, Cap. Like, the last three games, even though the Bears lost two out of three, there's another side to it. Mm-hmm. Like, for instance, the Bears rank last in the league in passing yards, averaging 125.7 per game.
Yep.
This week, 116 passing yards. They had the fourth fewest in the league in any game. So there's something to be said there. But again, there is a negative side to that. The positive side is that one of the best things that Fields is doing is avoiding turnovers. We documented this on Monday, that he had no turnovers on Sunday and has a streak of three straight games without interception or fumble. I'll take that, because right now when you see that, even though you're losing two out of three, you're seeing Fields is taking care of the football. That's, again, growth at the position.
Completely agree. And I said earlier that the running back room has not been as good as maybe we have thought at times. Last week, they ran for, I think Khalil Herbert ran for, 23 yards on seven carries. David Montgomery, I think, had 36 on 14 carries. That's not great productivity, and Miami's not elite against the run. So I find that a little concerning. But Justin has more than picked up the slack because he is so dangerous. And so Dan Campbell just spoke. I was just reading his stuff at the break.
Mm-hmm.
He said the key to beating the Bears, you got to stop the run game up front with Montgomery and Herbert. If we can do that, it allows you then to do other things. If they're gashing you for 5 yards a carry, that's a different story. Last week, I think Herbert was 2.3 and Montgomery was in the ones.
Mm-hmm.
That is a huge weapon. You got to establish the run and then set up Justin to crush you.
Okay. So, in that maturity and that growth at the position, do you think that we will see a game in which Justin Fields runs for, say, 30 or 40 yards and is able to get the ball down the field and beat a team with his arm? Because, listen, I think that him running the football the way he did, especially the last couple of games, is great. But again, the other level has to come up as well. One of the things that people criticize Lamar Jackson for is, man, he can run. And, man, he does have a hell of an arm, but sometimes it's not accurate. And that, now he's been in it for a while. He's not just some rookie quarterback. So in that growth spurt for Justin Fields, the running's there. He does have a strong arm. Now it's being able to get the ball down the field and beat someone. I think that he could do that at some point.
The problem is that every time they've tried to drop him back in the pocket, process, go through, he gets harassed at almost 50% of the time.
Holds the ball too long, too, at times.
Well, because there's nobody open.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
You know?
Have you seen All 22 yet?
I have not watched the All 22 from the Dolphins game yet.
Okay.
I have not. That's on today's agenda up at TV.
Yeah.
So, can they put him in the pocket and have him step back there occasionally? Yeah. If you're going to get into a throwing game and he is going to be back there throwing 35 passes, you're in trouble.
Yes. But the hope is that next year, next couple years, that he doesn't have to run for 178 yards and break records. Now, the only guy he can depend on right now is Darnell Mooney. And Cole Kmet is right there as a close second as far as he had a couple of touchdowns. Give him credit. There was a package of plays for Kmet that I really liked. That got him more involved in the offense. But then after that, what does Claypool bring? Claypool was targeted six times, two receptions, good for 13 yards. I like to see that raise a little bit here against the Lions.
Completely agree. Get him more involved as he continues to learn the playbook. We just don't have a lot of guys that get a lot of separation. That's why it's got to be off play action. Establish the run with the two backs. Use Justin on design quarterback roles. Let him make plays with his feet when he's pressured. And then be able to throw on the run. That's the key.
Some thoughts here from House Hall yesterday with the Bears and Matt Eberflus. Eberflus talking about the success in leaving the pocket.
Like I said, it's just pocket presence. You know, him knowing the reads, him going through his reads, him delivering the ball, him feeling comfortable to be able to understand that hey, he'll be able to ride the pocket, step up and deliver it. And again, that's a learned skill. He's got to be able to go through that process of that. And he's had some times where guys were running off the corner, and you know he's been able to evade that too. You know, so he's pretty special that way.
Lions coach Dan Campbell on Justin Fields.
He's they're doing a really good job with him. You know, I haven't gotten through all of it yet, but I've watched a little bit, and they're doing a heck of a job. Just you know, they built it around his strengths and what he's able to do. And we all know he's a hell of an athlete, and he can hurt you with his legs and his arm. So it'll be a big test.
Saw this from Dan Campbell, the Lions coach.
Right. He's right. Because if you establish the run with your running backs, oh, boy. Guys, they're gashing us for 4.5-5 yards a clip here. Mm-hmm. Now it makes Justin a very, very dangerous person.
Justin Fields talking about Getsy calling the offense for Fields and talking about the strengths of that.
Yeah, I mean, of course, he's done a great job, you know, these past few weeks. You know, like Coach said, ever since the mini bye week, you know, he's done a great job, you know, tailoring, you know, our offense to my strengths, to the other players' strengths. So, you know, of course, as much as we can do that, you know, as we want to do it as much as possible. So, you know, the more we can do it, the more successful our offense will be. Yeah, just don't let it affect me. You know, just go about my day like I, you know, would before all this, you know, hype came or so to call hype. You know, just put my head down, keep working, and, you know, my main goal is to, you know, keep improving and keep getting better each and every day.
Can we go back to something Phil said earlier? Mm-hmm. And I want to point out to you, Shay, you tell me. Because this is something Cap and I talked about a couple days ago regarding Justin Fields' strengths. Listen.
Yeah, I mean, of course, he's done a great job, you know, these past few weeks. You know, like Coach said, ever since the mini bye week, you know, he's done a great job, you know, tailoring, you know, our offense to my strengths, to the other players' strengths. So
our offense to my strengths. Now, here's where I'm going with this. Cap, you said a couple days ago that when we saw him at Ohio State, that he was not necessarily this quarterback that would run all over the field. He was a guy that had pocket presence.
He did.
Of course, he had an iron fence in front of him, so he didn't have to run all over the place.
He had five stars all over the O-line. He had Chris Olave. He had Garrett Wilson. He had Jackson Smith and Jigba. He had Jeremy Rukert. Those are all NFL-level guys.
By the way, he was handing the ball to J.K. Dobbins. So yeah. It was a great running good
game.
Team.
Yeah, it's a pretty great running game as well. But interesting that he just said that, right? Tailored to my strengths.
Correct.
So before he became a Bear, when he was drafted, his strength would be, well, first of all, leadership, because I saw that. Mm-hmm. Saw that at Georgia, and I saw that at Ohio State. The leadership was there.
Big arm,
a strong arm to get it down the field.
Fast.
Can be able to move around the pocket, but I didn't see, obviously, rushing numbers like this. So, is he recognizing, especially the first 4 or 5 games of the season, he wasn't doing this because he was chained to the pocket. He says his strengths. I think running the football, he realizes that I've got to be able to do this. And I guess I'm just wondering, will this be a habit for him? Like, is this who he's going to be, Shay?
No. Going forward?
Yeah. After the season?
No. I don't think it's sustainable. I do not think it's sustainable to have him running for 150 yards a week. I don't believe that.
What we're seeing right now is not – he's effectively a running back right now. I mean, he's a running back that throws the ball. Not that there's anything wrong with that. Mm-hmm. It's allowing him to develop and realize how talented and how athletic he is. I don't think he's ever going to be chained in the pocket again, but I don't think he's going to be this forever. I think in the future we're going to see kind of the – Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts deal where, yeah, we can do RPOs now because we have a running quarterback who can really be effective with his legs. But they're going to still, I imagine, prioritize the pass.
I just think I'm glad he said it out loud. And actually, it's funny, Cap, as the season progresses, the sound bites that are given to us, that are brought into the station, they're longer now than they have been before. Remember, these used to be 6 seconds, 5 seconds?
Yeah.
Pissed off, indifferent to the media. Now, a little bit more comfortable in saying, okay, I'm starting to get to what I, you know, get what I want as a quarterback. And so now he's a little bit more open to talking about
He's having
needs.
Some success, A.
Yeah. Well,
B,
yeah.
He's not getting crushed to the degree that he was.
Yeah.
I mean, he was dropping back and just getting a living H beating out of him.
Mm-hmm.
If you get into a game and you look up and go, oh, boy, we're 21 down.
Yeah.
I mean, he has the ability. I don't mean he doesn't. Currently, the way they're constructed, you cannot have him drop back 40 times. Remember Nagy would have Mitch throw 40-some passes?
Because Nagy did that in the Arena League.
Game over. Can't do it.
That's right. That's
Mitch
right.
wasn't that good, and we didn't have enough talent, and the game plan stunk.
Mm-hmm.
Remember the Cleveland game?
Yeah. Never forget that. Never
Justin
forget
almost
it.
Died last year.
Yeah, never forget that. It was the team was not prepared for Justin Fields, and Fields was not prepared to be out there to be able to help the Bears win. Either way, no offensive lineman, no one in there to chip. It was awful.
Agreed.
Against the Browns.
Agreed.
So how refreshing is it for Fields to admit that he's finding his strengths? Let's get your thoughts on some of the things that Justin Fields and Matt Eberflus mentioned about the Bears offense. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776. Jump in on our conversation about the Bears and Justin Fields on Cap and Jay Hood.
David Kaplan.
Jonathan Hood.
This is Cap and Jay Hood. Follow on Twitter at Cap Jay Hood.
On ESPN 1000.
And the ESPN Chicago app.
Still to come on Cap and Jay Hood, Twitter is all ablaze. Well, you just think that, you know, other things in your life could be controversial. Shouldn't be social media. Can't be social media being controversial, Cap. No. No.
A little bit.
Oh, my God. We'll talk about it coming up at 9:35. Social media, in particular Twitter, and we have a disagreement about the state of Twitter. We'll talk about it coming up at 9:35 here on ESPN 1000. Cap and I were talking to you about the Chicago Bears and Justin Fields. How refreshing is it to hear Fields admit that he's finding his strengths? I think what I really like about this era, Cap, is that everything's transparent. How many general managers, just tell the story, how many general managers in your past would just blatantly just lie to you?
Oh, my God.
Now, there was sometimes face-to-face, sometimes over the phone, right?
Mm-hmm.
No texting back then, but just would just tell you, we've got enough talent. Yeah, we're going to win this thing in a year. We're going to turn this thing around. When you could clearly see, hey, this is a rebuild, or hey, you're going to be bringing an influx of talent at some point. You can't win with this. Lying all the time, right?
Those are lying in generalities. What bothered me was to literally have the story and have the GM, you call him, out of respect.
Yes.
Yellow. Mr. So-and-so.
Mm-hmm.
Cap over at wherever I was.
Yep.
Uh-huh. Did you have lunch today with so-and-so in a private room? This is a true story.
Mm-hmm.
At Gibson's and interview him for your manager's job while you still have a manager. No. Absolutely not. Were you at Gibson's? Yeah, but I was not with who you think I was.
Hmm.
The problem was that the guy serving him called me.
Yeah.
The waiter.
Mm-hmm.
Called the station. Hey, man, I'm a fan. I listen all the time. I served a private room today, two people. So-and-so and Buck Showalter. I'm like,
yeah.
What?
Mm-hmm.
I called said person, not Jim Hendry, by the way. You weren't with Buck Showalter? No. Of course he was.
Of course.
Yes. Like, we find stuff out. I called a general manager in town. Hey, I'm being told you just made a big trade. Not true. You're sure about that?
Mm-hmm.
Not true. okay, I'll call you back. I call my guy back. He's telling me it's not true. He said, I'm the one making the trade. It was Kevin O'Neill. Mm-hmm. He was in my wedding. Mm-hmm. He's one of my closest friends in my life. He was the coach of the Raptors. Cap, I made the trade. It's done. I call back up there. Yeah, I'm actually going to report this. Oh, for okay, yeah, we are. Well, you just told me you weren't.
Yes.
The best one is the Tim Floyd one, mm-hmm. when the same guy calls me O'Neill. I'm at the White Hen in Evanston. Tim Floyd just got fired. I call the Bulls. Is Tim Floyd in? He's on the practice floor. No, he's not, because I'm sitting in front of his house in Evanston, and he's shoveling his driveway. Oh, God. They fired him that afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
Yes!
So the blatant lying.
Blatant lying.
Mm-hmm.
It goes on.
Well, what about organizations that are telling you that we're close and not? Do you accept that? Because obviously, you always feel when you're in that chair, we're going to win every year. But ultimately, how many Cubs teams have you seen when you saw the roster and you go, this ain't working? Right. That 91 team or other team or Sox teams that just, you know, they were.
Yes.
But they would just, but Ron Shula would tell you, yeah, we're definitely going to compete here.
Right. I remember going to spring training. So, you've been in these situations. I watched that Cubs team and I came on with Spike Odell. Mm-hmm. He's like, boy, we just had the GM on. It sounds like we got a good Spike, they won't win 70 games. They're horrible. What? They were horrible.
Yeah.
Ask Sylvie about how many GMs that guy covered. He was doing the Bears. He was doing the Bulls. Where they had no shot.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I appreciate a GM who just tells it like, look, we're rebuilding.
Yep, like the Bears. The reason why I ask you that question is because listen to the Bears. Listen to what Eberflus is saying. Poles is clearly telling you, like, yeah, we're going to reimagine this team. He's not going to say rebuild to us. Because we asked him the question, and he would not say rebuild.
You tried to pin him down 8 different ways, and he wouldn't go.
He wouldn't say it.
But we're remodeling rooms. Isn't that what he told you?
Yeah, and Jed wouldn't say it either, by the way, and when we asked him. Right. But we can clearly see that you need some help to try to build a team. And the same thing with Justin Fields. I like that he says that I'm getting better. They're tailing the offense toward my strengths. And that's just being transparent. It's not going to stop me from paying whatever I'm going to pay to go to Soldier Field. Hey, I know what I'm seeing here. I just want to be entertained for 3 hours, 4 hours. You know, and so I appreciate that rather than over the years a general manager saying, oh, we got a lot of talent here. As a matter of fact, we're going to have a deep playoff run. How?
Okay, what if he said to you,
how?
What if he said to you, Jonathan, the Bear fan, not mm-hmm. the media guy, look, it's a process. We want to see growth out of what we've got on the roster. And there will be a time that we will put our accelerator down and trade picks or sign someone to a massive deal. We just don't believe now is that time. But we still want to see productivity. You'd be cool with that.
Yeah, I accept that. But we're talking about teams in the 90s and early 2000s. When you saw the roster come out, and you just, especially for my favorite team, you just bring in attractions. Here's a guy that here used to be great with the Red Sox. Here's a guy that used to be great with the Seattle Mariners. The Cubs. Here's Cal Daniels. Here's Candy Maldonado. You look at this and you're like, what? You coming north with this?
But you're missing something.
What's that?
There was no tanking back then. Wow. There was no, all right, strip it down and let's rebuild this thing. It was, we suck. Just keep trying to get better players. Right?
Yeah. In free agency, you're just going to overpay just to bring attractions in to
like
fill the ballpark.
If you told Ron Shuler or Larry Himes, hey, we need you to trade away all your players and try and get the highest draft pick. They were bad without trying to tank.
Well, this Larry Himes, I don't know.
He's an odd man.
Larry Himes. 312-332 ESPN is our phone number. Well, we've had some characters in this city over the years.
Oh, my
good
God.
Lord. All right, Ted in Lake Geneva, you're on ESPN 1000. Go ahead.
Hey, guys, I got a quick thought before my Justin Fields thought about Larry the general manager thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a complicated thing because if a general manager comes out and says, we are rebuilding. Obviously, I mean, Hoodie, you just said you'd still go to the Bears game. Yeah. A lot of people wouldn't, though. And think about the people that are selling season tickets or selling sponsorships. If you're selling a big sponsorship for one of these big teams, and all of a sudden you say the team's going to be crappy, and all of a sudden there's going to be less people, you know, less people in the stands, then the sponsorship's going to be less valuable. So I empathize with him a little bit on that note.
You know, Ted, it's too early to say because we're still in the middle of the season. I like to see the attendance figures at the end of the season. With the Bear fan knowing that we're not going to the playoffs, it's like at the end of Wanstead, at the end of Jaron, at the end of Lovey even, you saw the no-shows. I wonder, will you get that this year, knowing that you have excitement and number one on the field, knowing that you're not going anywhere?
Right.
Will you get the 5,000 to 6,000 no shows in December for this ball club? Doesn't that feel different than the teams in the past, or no?
Yeah, I mean, maybe, but I'm just saying, even before this season, when they're selling the sponsorships to whoever it is, Big Bank X, right, or mm-hmm. beer company Y, mm-hmm. They're just not going to be satisfied if they think the team is basically selling the fact that the fans might not be there late in the season. So anyway, that's just one thought. Back to Justin Fields real quick, and then I'm out of here. You know, one of the things you guys mentioned with his pre-draft sort of analysis, we talked a lot about scrambling, but we didn't talk about the running. And I think, you know, Hoodie, you know college football better than anyone, and Cap, I think you hit the nail on the head here. Ohio State was so good, he didn't even run. He didn't need to.
Yeah.
And it's almost like you have this guy that has an extra superpower that he didn't even know he had to run this much down the field. Because at Ohio State, I mean, one of you guys could have been quarterback there behind that offensive line, throwing to Chris Olave all day long. So thanks, guys. Great show as always, and I'll hang up and listen.
Appreciate right, you. Thanks, Ted.
What do you think, Cap?
He's about the Justin part? Mm-hmm. He's right. Justin was not Lamar Jackson at Ohio State. Justin was a guy who stepped back in the pocket. Oh, there's my tight end, Jeremy Rueckert. Bam, got him. Oh, there's Olave right down the middle of the field. Oh, there goes Garrett Wilson. He had so much talent, and that's why Ryan Day called Matt Nagy, who they have a relationship, and said, I know you're calling about J.K. Dobbins or this lineman or that defensive player. You need to come back here and look at my quarterback next year. He's a generational talent. He is. We don't see guys that have that type of ability.
No.
You just have to surround him with more talent.
You know, I'll ask Chris when we do crosstalk with Black and Abdallah, ask him about if we get a somewhat mild December and a season ticket holder like the Blacks have been for two or three generations, would he still go to like the Eagle game, the Bills game, the Viking game? Will he go? Knowing that Justin Fields and the offense might light up and you still might lose, will there be interest in him going?
I think there'll be more interest because we've got our quarterback.
Yeah. When you want to fire a coach, especially with the Bears, people stop showing.
Now, my question is if he has a bad game, mm-hmm. whether that's this Sunday or 5 Sundays, he gets picked off 3 times, sacked 5 times, and the Bears get drilled by someone we feel like they should beat.
Mm-hmm.
Will people be like, you know our guy right there, Snorling.
Yeah.
He's from that First Take generation. Did we overestimate Justin Fields? That will be Monday morning at the meeting.
Right. Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
That's what people will be saying.
Yeah. Or will this be, with the Bears, by the way, in December, will this be the Steve Shanwald-led Bulls where come see Josh Allen, the Bills against the Bears? Go to the game just to see contenders like the Eagles and the Bills and the Vikings.
No. We've got our QB1.
Mm-hmm.
We have some good players. We do.
Mm-hmm.
We just don't have enough of them.
By the way, just to explain that for those that don't know, Shanwald, when he was marketing for the Bulls, would say, come see Kobe and the Lakers against the Bulls. He was promoting the other team to
Correct.
Come to the United Center.
Because Michael and the Jordanaires were gone.
Yeah. Yeah,
they were bad.
Under Tim Floyd, you want to promote the other team because stars were coming in. They just weren't in Bulls uniforms.
Correct. And then when we would rarely win, remember they would shoot off like streamers and stuff inside?
So embarrassing.
The Bulls win!
Oh, my God.
Oh, God.
So embarrassing.
Win 16 games.
Twitter has a problem. Cap and I will explain that next. Danny's going to put money in your pocket in 1 minute on Chicago's Home for Sports.
Cap. J-Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago.
Do, da, dippity. You can get with this, or you can get with that. You can get with this, or you can get with that. I think you can get with this, because this is kind of fat.
Cap and J-Hood. Morning 7 to 10 here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. The same ESPN Chicago app where you can find... Good Karma Wrestling.
Correct.
That's tonight. Tonight, 6 o'clock, man. It's at ESPN 1000 on Twitter. I just got a text of all the topics we're going to talk about today. It's going to be interesting. 6 o'clock tonight. It'll be Brian, Gabe, and yours truly. 6 o'clock at ESPN 1000. You can watch it on Twitter. And, of course, the podcast is available as well on the ESPN Chicago app.
I got a text from my friend Jay Hughes. He's a season ticket holder.
Yes.
We talked the topic we were talking about.
Yeah.
In relation to your and Jonathan's question, will there be interest even if the Bears are up the track in December? He said we were flooded deep down in Dallas. He flew down there to watch that game. And that wasn't a cheap ticket plus airfare. Justin and the Bears trending up has given this fan base a shot in the arm. Bears fans are also one of the more educated fan bases in the country, in his opinion. Plus, we're all addicted to the NFL product. Interest will still be high. So I think that's a fair way to put it.
So he's going to be out there in December? Is that what it says? Okay.
He said, and I saw the pictures from Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
There were a ton of Bears fans spending money to go do that. Carmen Yurk were down there.
I was in Austin at Bears Bars in Austin. Like, they took over bars.
People are excited because we finally, it's not the lost, adrift feeling we had last year.
Twitter has a problem, Cap. And so, if people have been listening to us from day one,
mm-hmm.
I told you, Cap, I was like, I'm not an Elon Musk guy. You guys would bring him up. Oh, he's got this new car idea. Oh, we're going to have cars in space. And I would tell you, nah, Elon Musk. Musk, who is this guy? Always with these great ideas, but never all this great innovation, but never bring it to fruition. Great ideas, but it never happens. Now the man has taken over Twitter. And so Twitter has a problem. So, Shay, tell us the latest on Twitter, because I know that you've been verified. I am not mm-hmm. on Twitter over the years. And you're paying through the nose for this. You.
$8 a month.
That's tough for you. Go ahead.
Shay and I were having this debate this morning.
Yes.
I have 126,000 followers, mm-hmm. something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I've been verified. Fortunately, I can afford the $8. And I feel like it's important because if I'm going to report on a Cubs story or a Bears story, people should know that's legitimately me.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I'm going to put my name on it. So I'm going to pay for the $8.
And I'm not verified, so I don't have any money to pay. I mean, I think after all these years, I should be verified, but I don't know how to do that. I had to register at the post office. How do I do that?
Twitter blew.
Twitter does blow sometimes, but I'm talking about trying to get verified.
It especially blows now.
Well, so, now it's insane because of what you guys were telling me in the meetings that, like, somebody tweeted about, like, at LeBron James, but the last, it's not him.
It's Z. It's James with a Z.
Right. Or at Adam Schefter. Like, they've got to have some way of not having these stories go viral because people are getting hoodwinked, so to speak.
So, Shay, there are two stories that were breaking news that actually weren't, right?
Correct. There was LeBron James requesting a trade from the Lakers that came from a spoofed account with a verified badge. And there was Adam Schefter reporting Josh McDaniels had been fired from the Raiders from a spoofed account that was not Adam Schefter, but it had a verified badge and ostensibly was. The only way you could tell was if you read the handle, which said at Adam Schefter, cap, all caps, not.
Yeah, I mean, when people are scrolling with their thumb or their finger and they're going through the news, some don't take the time to, I don't know, read and to make sure it's verified. Anytime we get breaking news, Cap, even though it's the notification on my phone, I still double check just in case.
Right, because it used to be, oh, there's a baseball hot stove story. Who's reporting? At Ken Rosenthal. Does he have a blue check mark? Yes. Okay, go with it.
And is there a Z in Rosenthal?
Right.
If it is, that's not correct.
You better have double and triple checked before you're on the air going, you're not going to believe this story. It's actually fake. Oh, God.
I mean, it's going to happen to people. People will, who do radio shows, people will get faked out by stuff. It's going to happen.
It's happened to me. Happened to me one time. But I think that the question that's on the table is it worth paying $8 a month? I don't have it, so I'm not going to pay for it. You feel like it's worth anything. Shay, JC, is it worth it to you?
No shot.
If you were verified?
No shot.
It doesn't matter at all. That's coffee money for me. Like, that blue check mark doesn't mean anything next to my name. Especially we were talking about, like, I'm going to, like, tweet out some of my thoughts, but I'm never going to say, right, oh, you know, LeBron James is asking for a trade. I'm not the type of reporter like that.
Okay, but let's use Sylvie as an example.
Right. Use me.
I'm serious. Sylvie was a Bulldog reporter.
Yes. And a damn good one.
Damn good one. Mm-hmm. And he was covering the Bulls during their run. He was covering the Bears for a long time, and then he moved into a hosting role. Okay, if Sylvie is reporting and he's at Bears camp and he has a scoop that no one else has,
mm-hmm.
and he wants to put that out, I want to know if I'm the listener, not his friend, the listener. Is that true? Well, I don't know. It's not a verified account. I don't know if that's Mark Silverman.
Just check the followers. If he has over 100,000, and then see who follows who. It's an extra step, but it's not that big, you know, of a step to take.
Right. It's like Dave Portnoy's got 3 million followers. He's not verified. That's an incredibly large platform, and he doesn't have the blue check mark.
That surprised me when I saw that this morning. I didn't know that until this morning.
I don't think it's always necessary. I think if you follow the account, you know when it's them. If it's a retweet that you're seeing it, well, then maybe you got to take an extra step. But it's not the end of the world to me.
How many David Kaplans are verified? Do you know? Maybe,
I don't know. I've never looked.
Well, I guess the reason why I ask is because maybe you like that, because if it's David Kaplan, the verified David Kaplan, for sure, if you've got Cubs news or whatever news in Chicago sports, uh-huh. they know it's you. And you feel with that check, people don't have to double check, right? Or triple check and make sure it's real.
I mean, you know that there's some jackaloon listening right now. I'm going to get him. I'm going to tweet something where people are going to think it's him.
There are parody accounts of you.
Oh, yeah.
That's out there.
That's fine. Whatever. Yeah. At David Kaplan. At Cap Burner. Here's a David Kaplan MD. I mean, there's a whole bunch. There's a
now they're all going to have blue check marks, too, because parody you can get verified for.
See, and there's your problem right there, right?
Yeah.
But thank goodness that I know who the newsbreakers are. Because for me, Shay, whether it's especially in the NBA, I know to go to Woj or Shams, or I'll go to Chris Haynes, or I'll go to other like four or five other sources. And so, and I know that those guys are great. Same thing in Major League Baseball. I can have my own list of verified accounts that I know that I can go to for breaking news, make sure the bell is on for those, and then I'm good. But for those that are on the outside, and they're just like, hey, this is a story where Stephen A. Smith, and it's not even Smith, it's Smythe, it was like an E on the end, says that LeBron James is getting traded. Okay, people are going to run with that.
Yeah.
But it's about reading and verifying to make sure that you don't get got.
Well, and here's really the question for me is just what in the world is Elon Musk thinking? Because this has been the most inauspicious start to his takeover that I could possibly think of. Not only do you have this massive issue where parody accounts and all these things, this news that's not news is going viral because you've allowed mass verification. You also have Elon Musk selling $4 billion worth of Tesla shares to finance this takeover because it's more expensive than he thought. You have him cutting half the workforce of Twitter out and then asking some of them to come back because he wasn't aware of what they were doing.
Bad business.
And then you have former Twitter employees coming out and saying there are crashes happening inside the like the back end of the software, and the website's going to fail because they fired the people who were capable of maintaining it. It's a very inauspicious start to this takeover. He seems like he has no idea what he's doing.
It's bad business.
Horrible.
It's bad business. That's why I've never been a Musk guy. Now, finally, he's getting into something that is where we could see whether or not he's a good businessman or not. I'm not enamored with his money. I don't care how much money he makes.
I'm not enamored with his money. I think it's cool what he did with a car. That's what I'm enamored by.
But we're not in the sky. We're supposed to have cars in the sky, remember? So it'll be like the Jetsons.
Yeah, someday we may. But I think it's cool that in the face of rising gas prices that you could plug your car in at home and go, I ain't paying that.
But what about
But I think it's cool.
But what about on the road, Cap? What about on the road? You needs a little electricity. Not a lot of those gas stations have that, you know. Not your garden variety Clark doesn't have that for you.
What about when the autopilot fails or when they mysteriously explode in the driveway? Because that happens too.
I like a good guess.
I have a lot of friends who own that car and think it's the greatest vehicle they've ever owned.
For the most part, it's a good vehicle. But also, I think a lot of people act like Elon was out there with the wrench, putting every nut and bolt in there, too. I don't think that's true either.
Well, we didn't have those cars until he came up with that company. So he deserves all the credit in the world for that. His Twitter rollout? Not so much.
How about the long drive, Cap, where I've got to pull over? I like the idea that I can just go to a gas station and give me the petrol I need, right?
Yeah, but I think the new ones give you, what, 400 miles?
Yeah, but then if I'm, if I need a fill-up, where do I go?
They're all over the place.
They're at the gas station,
they're
too?
They're in our garage, right here, the parking lot we go to.
Yeah.
Right there. They've got a whole bank of them.
But what about the long road trip?
I mean, after 400 miles, I think you're good.
Just saying, it's not like, you know, the guy that can take care of your windshield and can fill it up for you and ask if you need anything.
They don't do that anymore.
What about the self-service, Cap? What about that? Goober comes out, checks your oil.
No more Goober.
you need no more Goober.
Those are gone.
Cap, there's no more Goober?
No more Goober. Those are gone.
You haven't had a self-service in your car in a while, have you?
You mean a full service?
Yeah.
No, there's no gas stations doing that anymore. Where a guy comes out in a little white hat with a little bow tie. Yes, fill it up. Check the oil, please. Check the tires.
How's your day, Mr. Kaplan? That guy didn't come out.
It's fine. Give me my gas.
Yelling at the guy.
I'll do it myself.
Don't be yelling at Goober, Cap. That ain't right. Great. Mr. Kaplan, how's your day? Sunny day out. Unseasonably warm. Don't worry about it. I gotta go.
Yeah.
I got a recruit to see.
Can you please put the gas in?
Well, so. Would you like to have your wipers maybe changed? You know, it's getting kind of cold.
My wipers are fine.
Oh, okay. Well, how about
the yell?
That was a nice cold lemonade on the inside if you like it. I don't need lemonade.
Too much sugar.
Too much sugar. Let's go.
Give it to Danny Zetterman when he comes in.
We've got the Cap and J-Hood cut of the day coming up next on Chicago's Home for Sports.
David Kaplan. Jonathan Hood.
Welcome, fans. This is Cap and J-Hood on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the new ESPN Chicago app.
That's you and I. Morning 7 to 10 here on ESPN 1000. Cap is rock and I am roll.
Take that.
Glad to have you with us. We'll have Bleck and Abdallah coming up at 10. We'll crosstalk with the guys momentarily. Carmen Yurko at 12. Waddle and Sylvia at 2. Tyler Aki. A solo Tyler Aki from 6 to 8 right into Freddie and Fitzsimmons right here on ESPN 1000. Now time for the Cap and J-Hood cut of the day.
Brought to you.
You were saying?
My Chicago Cut Steakhouse. Check out the Lobster Escargot and get the Mint Oreo Ice Cream Pie.
So, you know, I was thinking the other day. Hang on a second. I was talking. What's going on here?
Jumpy.
So, anyway, I don't understand. Well, you know, he's running the board in Spain, and we're here in Chicago. Yeah, here's the thing, though. Cap, I'm just telling you, you talk about a great restaurant, Chicago Cut, especially in the summer.
Oh, out on the patio.
Oh, the patio is terrific.
That David Flom and Matt Moore, boy, they know how to put together a dining experience.
All right, so there we go.
A little quicker.
Yeah. So, you know, the other thing, too. Hang on a second. We're still talking about Chicago Cut. Don't interrupt, JC, for God's sakes.
Man.
So, anyway, so the steaks. Oh, you talk about a great cut of steak, right?
I mean, tremendous.
But I like the hands-on touch that they give you, too. They come over and they explain to you what's going on. You say, oh, that happens at every restaurant. No. There's a personal touch.
Correct.
Right?
You feel like family.
That's right. That's right. That's what I like.
All right, Jake.
What are you waiting on? Come on. Cut of the day. Let's go. God's sakes. You could put a pace bus through it, Jake. Come on, let's go.
Yo.
Run
yes, it's
time.
Boring, but it's a sport.
Get tight on the board.
Whatever.
Christ.
It's not boring.
Okay, then you're boring.
All right, cut.
Okay, I want you to take your sphincter. take your ass, and I need you to turn it.
Oh, God.
Sammy, we're going to do the twister. Anybody at the door? Good. Here we go.
Wow.
Take your ass.
Yo. I've heard it all. It's boring, but it's a sport.
Oh.
Whatever.
It's not boring.
Okay, then you're boring.
All right, cut. And it is the Jay Hood, David Kaplan, Cap and Jay Hood, cut of the day.
Take that.
Any bets for us here? You know what? You got Thursday Night Football. I know you have something on it.
That's Falcons at Panthers.
Mm-hmm.
I would take the Falcons. Panthers are bad.
Mm-hmm.
They'll probably go out and win 48-0 tonight, but I would think it'd be the Falcons. I haven't really done a deep dive on that game.
Shay Norling?
Falcons, Panthers, I got to tell you something. And I'm football, football all the time in the fall. This is a self-care evening. Don't watch this game. Stay away. Turn the TV off. Go hang out with the wife, the girlfriend, whoever. You don't need to watch Falcons, Panthers. So self-care tonight.
So you won't be watching?
I will not watch this game. I'm going to participate in a little bit of self-care. I'm not going to watch Falcons, Panthers tonight.
Oh, he's going to have a spa. It's a spa day. How about that?
How about that?
I mean, Falcons, Panthers, or a spa day?
I figured Falcons, Panthers, he'd miss the birth of his first child. Let me know how it goes, honey.
I'm just telling you. I mean, I think that that's the case. I think that Shay will tune in just to see if there's a play in the first half or second half. He'll take a look.
This is personal. This is personal growth for me, Hoodie.
Not even a peek.
No reason to.
Any NBA you'll take a look at?
Maybe? Perhaps.
A little NBA.
There'll be plenty to gamble on tonight.
All right, we thank you for listening and twitching and calling in to Cap and Jay Hood here on ESPN 1000. We appreciate you checking in every morning from 7 to 10. Our thanks to JC. A little tighter, JC, on the board, for God's sakes.
Yeah. Sorry? What was happening?
You're a little tighter on the board, please. I mean, I know
you're better than that, JC.
I mean, JC, you know, you're much better than that. You don't do that to Hanley. So just, I mean, come on, help us out. Anyway. Our thanks to you for listening and for twitching and being part of the program. Wow. How about you and I do this tomorrow at 7?
Rock and roll on a football Friday.
For Jake Cantu, for Shay Norling, for David Kaplan, I'm Jonathan Hood. We'll crosstalk with Bleck Abdallah coming up next. See you tomorrow. So long, everybody.
Take that.
From Chicago.